Thank you so much, Pastor Kenny, and thank you so much. I could honestly leave right now and say it's been good to be in the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I appreciate your pastors, and I appreciate this church. What's so wonderful, many times I go somewhere and preach, and they want to know everything I'm going to say before I get there. Literally, they want to know how long you're going to preach, what are you going to preach on, what's your theme, and Pastor Ken, Pastor Kenny, just say, come and share what God has placed on your heart. That's what's important, right? It reminds me of the story of the young preacher. He took his first church in rural Kentucky, and he got up the first Sunday he was there, and he preached on the dangers of alcohol. And after the service was over, the chairman of the deacons said, we need to talk to you. You're probably not aware, but a lot of our people work at the Budweiser plant. If you could, just don't go there. He said, well, I just wasn't aware. I won't do it anymore. So the second week he gets up and he preaches on the dangers of tobacco. And the deacon said, we need to talk. I don't know if you realize it, but tobacco is a cash crop here in Kentucky. A lot of our people grow tobacco. You don't need to go there. He said, I just wasn't aware. And the third week he gets up and he preaches on the dangers of gambling. And they said, well, you don't understand. We have the lottery here. And a lot of our people participate in the lottery. You just don't need to go there. So the fourth week he gets up and he preaches on the dangers of scuba diving in international waters. Amen. So it's a wonderful privilege just to be able to preach on what God's placed on my heart. I do thank you. I do thank you so much for being here. I appreciate this wonderful church and all you do for the Congregational Methodist Church and all you do for the kingdom. It's really my joy to get to be here. And let me say this. He was talking about at Rock Springs Church. Sure, I preached over 3,000 Sunday. But that's not how I started out. I started out preaching on street corners. I started out preaching in rescue missions. See, God's not looking for ability. God's looking for availability. The only good thing about us anyway is God's giftedness. It's the gift that God's given us. It's not us, folks. We're just broken vessels, amen? We're just crackpots. It's He who lives inside of us. That's what makes the difference. I want to invite you to take your Bible, and I want you to stand. Can we do that? I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to call your attention to verse 26. 1 Samuel 17, look at what verse 26 says. It says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let us pray. Lord, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I thank you for this high honor and distinguished privilege to be here in this great church. And I pray tonight you'll make our tongue a ready writer's pen. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to say the right stuff, nudge us when we've said enough. Help us to say nothing that would be offensive to the precious Holy Spirit of God. The bride and the Spirit say, come. So, Lord, we want to be, as a church, saying what your Spirit has to say. Speak to us and through us. Meet the needs of these beautiful people. And for all you do, we'll bow our unworthy heads. We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. We'll give you praise. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Folks, I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about God is greater than your giant. God is greater than your giant. Somebody said there's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Amen? As the sister was testifying tonight, I couldn't help in my mind to think about myself and my precious wife. My wife and I went out on just a few dates, and I was in love, and I said, I want to get married. You say, Brother Benny, that's puppy love. It's real to the dogs, amen? Just a few dates, we wanted to get married. And we did get married. We were so young when we got married, we didn't know whether to go on a honeymoon or summer camp. We were just kids. My wife was one of seven. And shortly after getting married, we planned to have children. We thought it would be just like everybody else. We thought we'd be able to have children. But it didn't happen. Year in, year out, it didn't happen. Year one, it didn't happen. Year two, it didn't happen. Year five, it didn't happen. Year seven, it didn't happen. Year eight, it didn't happen. My wife went through a severe depression. Went to bed for 6 months. She said to me, when you travel all over and you're preaching to everybody else's kids, why won't God give you children? Why won't God give us children? I said, Barbara, I don't always understand. God's too loving to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. When we can't trace His hand, we can trust His heart. It's God's sovereignty that helps me keep my sanity. And through a process, we adopted a beautiful little girl. 3 weeks old, Savannah Abigail. And now she's a student working on her master's degree at Vanderbilt University. I found God to be faithful. I found God was greater than the giant in our lives. And what I'd say to you tonight, God's greater than the giant in your life. Because, folks, we all have some giants. David's giant happened to be 9 feet, 6 inches tall. He happened to weigh 500 pounds. He happened to have armor that weighed 150 pounds. But you know the story. David goes down to the brook of Elah and he picks up 5 smooth stones. Recently, I was in Israel and I walked down to that brook and I picked up stones. And as I was in that brook, I was noticing it's easy to figure out why David found 5 smooth stones, because that's all is there. Now you say, Pastor Benny, why did he get 5 smooth stones? Well, can I really be honest with you? It's one of those things we don't know. There's things we don't know. There's things we can't understand. I don't understand why we eat 3 square meals and end up round, but we do. Amen? There's things that we don't understand. Now, according to 2 Samuel 21 and 22, Goliath could have had 4 sons. Ken, he may have got 5 stones because there were 4 sons and he was going to take care of all of them. Now, you know, he may have got 5 stones, ladies and gentlemen, because he wanted to be well prepared. I don't know. But I've always believed this, folks. I believe those 5 stones, he got 5 stones. Because those 5 stones represent J-E-S-U-S. Those 5 stones represent Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, how we overcome the giants in our lives is through Jesus. You know, I was on a television network today here in Dallas. And sometimes I watch this Christian television on different networks. And it's just name it, claim it, believe it, receive it, health and wealth, blab it and grab it. But folks, I want you to know, that's not true. The life that pleases God is often painful and difficult. And God can't really bless us greatly until He hurts us deeply. And you'll never know the Lord is all you need until the Lord is all you have. And I begin to think about those five smooth stones while I was down in that brook. And folks, I want us to take those five smooth stones tonight. And I want to give you five principles that are from the Word of God that will help you overcome your giant. Principle number one, ignore the criticism and unbelief of others. Ignore the criticism and the unbelief of others. You know, to be honest with you, nobody believed in David. When Samuel came down to Jesse's house to anoint the king, Jesse sent seven sons out there. But he didn't send David out there because apparently Jesse didn't believe in David. And when David goes down to the battlefield, his oldest brother says, "What are you doing down here? You're just a nosy runt that ought to be back there keeping the sheep." And when David went up against Goliath, Saul said, "Who are you to go up against Goliath? You're just a youth. And this man has been a man of war from his youth." But you know what I learned about David? David ignored the unbelief and the criticism of others. There was one occasion in 1 Samuel 30 and 6 at Ziklag when David lost everything. And the Bible says this, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, David probably said, "But if God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me?" Here's the principle I want you to see. Ladies and gentlemen, God exalted David after he killed the giant in the presence of those that had ridiculed and doubted him. And ladies and gentlemen, if we'll be faithful to God, I believe God will exalt us. I believe God will validate us. I will believe God will confirm us in the presence of those that have ridiculed and doubted us. Years ago, I went to Rock Springs Church. 27 years ago, Kenny said, 25 or 30 people. When I first went there, I sold furniture to supplement my income. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit. But I remember as a young preacher, high energy, low IQ. I go to a conference, and a man's teaching the conference, and he makes this statement. I go with a group of preachers. I can see them now. But he said, "If you believe God has called you to build a congregation of 1,000 people." Now keep in mind, folks, I pastor a church that's in the country. Our zip code is E-I-E-I-O. The June bugs don't show up till August. I'm on the back row. And he says, if you believe God's called you to preach a, build a church of 1,000 people, I want to have a special prayer. I want you to come forward. As a young preacher, I stepped out. And preachers with me started to giggle. They started to laugh. Let me tell you something, folks. Get this down. This is not coming from the top of this gray head. This is coming from the bottom of my heart. If you do something for God, you'll be misunderstood. If you do something for God, you'll be questioned. But always remember, crows only pick at the best fruit. And here's what I want you to understand. There's a stone that you need to take to battle. And that stone is, ignore the criticism and unbelief of others. Let me tell you stone number two. When you're in a battle, that is, remember the victories that God gave you in the past. Remember the victories that God gave you in the past. You remember when David went up against that giant? He started going up against that giant. And somebody said, David, that giant is so big he could hurt you. David said, he's so big, I can't miss. But David said these words. He said, the Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. And he'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. You know, when we're going through tough times, we need to remember that God is faithful, ladies and gentlemen. God is faithful. And we need to look back on the faithfulness of God and say, God's brought me through this far. And God's going to bring me through again. I wish I could sing. I sing good, but I sound bad. But if I could sing tonight, I'd sing this song. You may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you're faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again He'll take care of you. And He'll do it again. He'll do it again if you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Well, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how. You may not know when. But He'll do it again. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're going up against a giant, ignore the criticism and unbelief of others. Remember the victories that God's given you in the past. But there's a third step. Speak positive words of victory and not defeat. Speak positive words of victory and not defeat. You know, when I knew I was going to preach this story, I started reading it over and over. And we talk about David and the giant. But read this story, folks. David not on one occasion referred to him as a giant. Not on one occasion did he call him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Here's what I want you to know. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. There's nothing biblical. There's nothing biblical about us beating ourselves up. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Philippians 4 and 19 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to speak positive words of victory. Speak positive words of victory and not defeat. Kind of like the little boy that goes out in his backyard. He said, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. No, he says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he throws the ball up and he swings and he misses it. And he said, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he throws it up and swings again and he misses it. And he said, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he throws it up again and he swings and he misses it. And he said, wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. You know what I do, folks? I tell people, I'm not a deep preacher. I'm not deep. Could you imagine? Tomorrow night, I'll be talking about the difference between transubstantiation and consubstantiation. Now, that'll bring you back, amen? No, I'm not deep, but I'm not stuck. I'm not deep. When I open the door of my desk every morning, I've got something there. I've got a can. It's got an eye on it. It's got an eye on it. Now hold on. You say, what is that, Pastor? It's an I can. It's my I can. Amen? Not an I can't, but I got an I can, Ken. Ken, I'm a deep guy. Yes, I'm a doctor, remember? And I get my I can out. Every day. And I'm not going to say I can't. I'm going to say I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm not going to say impossible. I'm going to say him possible. And all things are possible through him. Oh, if a mosquito would bite me right now, it'd leave singing, there's power in the blood. Let me tell you, folks, when you've got a giant, ignore the criticism and unbelief of others. Some people have the spiritual gift of discouragement. There's people in the church that are so negative, if they walked into a dark room, they'd develop. Amen? Ignore the criticism and unbelief of others. Remember the past victories that God has given you. Speak positive words of victory. Quit beating yourself up. Quit beating yourself up. You say, Brother Benny, I've messed up. Let me tell you, I don't know. You know why God uses people who've messed up? Because there's not any other kind. Amen? There's not any other kind. Quit putting yourself down. The past is the past. Oh, folks, you can reflect on the scars or you can reach for the stars. God's got a great plan for your future. Let me tell you the fourth stone. Accept who God has made you to be. Accept who God has made you to be. Let me explain. David's getting ready to go up against this giant. And Saul says, take my armor. Now, if you know the Bible, and I know you people do, Saul was a head taller than everybody else. His armor would not work with David. Because he was a much bigger man. And David said, no, no, no. I've just got to be me. Somebody said, be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't, you ain't who you is. I love what Chuck Swindoll said. Chuck Swindoll said, know who you are. Accept who you are. And be who you are. Know who you are. Accept who you are. And be who you are. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God made you a unique person. God put in you a unique passion because God's created you for a unique purpose. We need to be who God's created us to be. Somebody said, I got to fit in. Young people, listen to me. Young people, listen to Pastor B. You don't have to fit in. God didn't create you to fit in. He created you to stand out. He created you to stand out. Somebody said, Pastor. Somebody asked me, said, why do you act so country? I said, it ain't an act. Folks, God doesn't need another John Hagee. God doesn't need another Robert Morris. God needs me to be who God created me to be. God needs you to be who you were created to be. And He uses us in spite of us. Let me give you the last stone. You can stick a fork in me, we're done. Totally depend upon God and give Him all the glory. Totally depend upon God and give Him all the glory. I love what 1 Samuel verse chapter 17 verse 46 says. It says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Ken, for years, I preached this story wrong. Maybe it's semantics, but I preached it wrong. For years I said, David killed the giant through God. That's not right. God killed the giant through David. This fight was fixed. This fight was fixed from the start. Right now, at Rock Springs Church, our church is in five different locations. When I preach on Sunday morning, I'm in one sanctuary, and we've got campuses all over the state, and we drop screens down, and I preach from those screens. But right now, we're in a building project to build a children's building. $5 million. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, are you worried about it? No? And let me explain. Our church started growing, and I said to our board, we need to build. Our board was very scared. Very scared. Finally, I said, we've got two options. They said, what are they, Pastor? I said, we can build or put on the marquee out front. Go to hell, we're full. They said, perhaps we need to build. Ken, on Saturdays, 5 o'clock. I don't make everything at my church. I have 100 employees. There's no way I can be at everything. But on Saturdays at 5 o'clock, I meet the people of my church. Give me your name, sis.
Maxine.
Maxine. And we go through and we pray, Maxine, over the pews. And Maxine, I would stop at your pew and I'd say, bless Maxine. Touch her physically. I'd pray about the things I knew about in your life. But I'd say tomorrow, bless Maxine. Sis, I'd say, bless Richard. Encourage his heart. And I do that. And I did that. We went into this massive sanctuary. My wife walked into it. And she said, Benny, how are you ever going to fill this massive sanctuary? Better than that, how are you ever going to pay for it? And I started thinking about that. Then one afternoon, I was praying with the people in the small church. And I was placing my hands on pews and I said these words. I said, God, how am I going to fill that massive building? How am I going to pay for that massive building? How am I going to fill it? And God spoke to me and God said, you didn't fill the one you're in. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit. And friend, it's amazing what God will do in our lives when we totally depend upon Him and give Him all the honor and glory. It's amazing what God will do when we say, Lord, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. Though I don't understand, God, I'm going to trust you. God, if you heal me, I'm going to trust you. But God, if you don't heal me, I'm going to trust you. Those three Hebrews said the God we serve, He's able to deliver us. But even if He don't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bow down. We're going to serve you, Lord. It's amazing what God would do when we say, Lord, I'm going to obey you and leave the consequences to you. I found God to be faithful for the giants in our lives. Just for a moment, as they softly play music, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed as they softly play. Friend, this was the message that God placed on my heart tonight. It's the message. I wonder how many would say, Brother Benny, I'm here tonight and I've got a giant. Somebody said a mother is only as happy as her saddest child. It may be a relationship giant, maybe a physical giant, maybe a spiritual giant, emotional. Maybe a situation that you've just prayed about for a long time. Maybe your past that you can't seem to get over. But Brother Benny, I've got a giant in my life. I've got a giant in my life. And I just want you to pray for me. And you'd slip your hand up. Hands up all over. Hands up all over. Hands up all over. Folks, I want us to do something tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. I want every person in here to stand. Just stand up. Just stand up. Tonight, I'd love nothing more than to pray with you. Your pastors would love to tonight just to pray with you, just to encourage your heart. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Benny, there's a heavy giant in my life. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to come and just stand in front of this altar. just come and stand, and I'm going to pray a special prayer. Just right where you're at, that's it. Just get out and just come and stand. I want to pray a special prayer for every person that's standing in front of this altar tonight. Whatever your Johnny is, you just bring that. As they softly play the music, whatever your Johnny is, whatever your Johnny is, God knows. God placed this message on my heart. Whatever your Johnny is, just come. You just come tonight. Whatever the giant, whatever's big to you, if it's big to you, it's big to God. God cares. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to God. If it matters to you, it matters to God. It matters to God. That's it. You all come. That's it. Just come. If it matters to you, it matters to God tonight. It does. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I'm so grateful, Lord, that you tell us we went through the fire and through the water, but the Lord brought us out. I don't know the giants, God. Maybe somebody has a giant like Barbara and I had many years ago, and they can't have a child. I pray, God, that you'll give them that child. I know you can do that. God, a bend in the road's not the end in the road. And I pray you'll give them that child. But maybe the family here tonight, it's a child that's way away from you. They've been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but they've got so far away from God. And Lord, seemingly nobody can talk to them. But God, you can. You can go to where that son, you can go to where that daughter is, and God, you can speak to their hearts. God, you can draw them back. You tell us to train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they should not depart. Lord, you know about that situation, that relationship that just needs your touch and just needs your blessing. I pray you work. God, you know about that physical ailment, that emotional ailment, that spiritual ailment, whatever the situation is. God, would you just intervene? You know, Lord, about that divorce, and you know how it's torn hearts, and you know the damage that's been done. But God, would you restore the years that the locusts have eaten? God, you tell us that you're for us. You said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, we take encouragement tonight that you're not against us, Lord. You're for us. And so, God, I pray your blessing upon these people. I pray a fresh touch of your Spirit, God, a fresh feeling of your presence, a fresh anointing, God, on their lives. Lord, we all need a fresh touch. We all need a fresh feeling. We all need a fresh empowerment. And I pray that for your people tonight. Would you bless them, God? Would you bless them and keep them? Make your face to shine upon them, be gracious unto them. Lift your countenance upon them. And may they experience your peace. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, can we give God a hand clap of praise? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming tonight, and thank you for being a part of this service. Folks, let me share something with you. I'm so looking forward to coming back tomorrow night. The only way I want you to miss, if there's a death in your family and it's you, I want you to come back. I want you to be a part of this service. And then, Matt, Wednesday night, I have a special presentation to make to these two wonderful pastors. Folks, you probably know this. But we don't, in the Congregational Methodist Church, in any movement, we don't have better pastors than your pastors. Amen? We don't have better pastors. These are wonderful. These are wonderful, wonderful men. Somebody said, what should a shepherd be like? Let me tell you something. A shepherd should smell like sheep. Amen? A shepherd should smell like sheep. I love to see pastors that love their people. And these two men love their people. I go to some places and preach, and by the time I leave, I'm depressed. The pastor wants to tell me about all the problems. And many times I'm thinking, if it's that bad, why don't you leave? Amen? These pastors don't. They just brag on what a wonderful church and what a wonderful people you are. So Matt, Wednesday night, I'm going to do a special presentation to these two wonderful, wonderful men of God. And I want you to know, Kenny, we're praying for Miss Jewel. We're praying for her. Wonderful, wonderful lady that keeps a great attitude. Keeps a great attitude. Well, God bless you, Brother Kenny. You stick a fork in me. I'm done.